This is Cloistered Away, a podcast for mothers, homeschoolers, and women eager to develop a rich family culture within their homes. Here, we move against the modern hustle and cultural noise to slow down and consider how to live with wisdom, beauty, and joy in the various places in which God has set us. I'm your host, Bethany Douglas, the voice behind the Cloistered Away website and Substack. Welcome. I'm glad you're here. Hey everyone, welcome to the Cloistered Away podcast. This is our first episode entering a season where we're going to be talking about the foundations of our home. I'm hosting today with my husband, Mark, of 23 years. Mark, would you like to say hello?
Yeah, hello. Happily married for 23 years, I would say.
Yes, agreed. So we thought that today, just as we're setting off this this new season where we're going to be talking about some of the structures in our home, that it would be really helpful to actually begin with giving some context to our marriage, to the beginning of our homeschool journey and parenting.
Yeah, I would also say this is maybe the most terrifying thing we've ever done together, including even taking a 1998 Suburban through the Badlands and and Arizona and Joshua Tree. And that one time we went to that hot spring outside of Taos, and we came around the corner and there were just a bunch of naked people in a little spring. And there was just that crisis moment of what happens now.
Yeah. Maybe that's too much detail.
No. Just keep, this is great. This is what they came for.
Yes. But this is the sort of things we're going to be talking about this season, just over talking about some stories from our household and just some of the ways that we have established a home. So just, I guess we can get started with that.
Let's do it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So as I said, we've been married 23 years this May. We just had our anniversary. And when we, maybe even, should we start with how?
Yeah.
Quickly. So we actually had a very quick introduction. We knew one another in college. We met one another in college, but we did not actually, we were not engaged until after, well, after college for you.
Oh, yeah.
I was still in school, but we had this little quick interaction while I worked at a coffee shop. Mm-hmm. And Mark came in. We had a conversation. We had had a lot of mutual friends in college. I'm giving it very fast.
Yeah.
A very abbreviated.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Story.
I'm tracking with this story.
But we had a very brief encounter, hello, and that turned into a 3-hour conversation. And I think over the next 3 weeks, we had one date. We went on a dinner and we had a couple of touch points where you came back into the coffee shop and we just had a couple of continued conversations and then you proposed.
That's right. Mm-hmm. One date. I remember the song on the stereo was The Smiths at the coffee shop. And I remember leaving that coffee shop after that encounter and thinking, okay, and I think I was just praying. I was like, okay, God, if I have a say in the matter, I want her. And we had one date at a seafood restaurant, and then I proposed, and miraculously you said yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep, something like that. And here we are. So 23 years later. So I don't know that that's necessarily a pattern we'd say for everybody, but it worked for us.
Yeah. Four kids.
Yep. We have four children.
Yep. We live in a very hot Texas. It's been great, except for these months that we're in right now. I should say that our kids are, three of them are in college age, one left in high school. We've been in one location for 19 years where we've been involved in our same local church. It's been great. I help run a creative agency with my brother and we have a dog.
Yes, we have a little dog. We started homeschooling when our eldest was maybe about three. And that was kind of an unsuspecting journey that a lot of my writing online has been kind of directed in that way. So we are going to talk some about that today, but also we'll be talking about that throughout the season.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess it does need to be asked, why is this thing that you've been building for 12, 13 years called Cloistered Away?
Great question.
Thanks.
So
I felt good about it.
What's interesting is how many people are unfamiliar with the word cloistered. So over this has now been brand name. It began as a family blog in 2007, right after I'd had my third child, our daughter Blythe. And a lot of people have not known how to pronounce it or what it is, what it means. So even here, we can say it really was as something that we came up with at the very beginning that felt like a symbolic of motherhood. So cloistered away means tucked away, put set apart for a holy purpose. It's more commonly used in monastic culture, but there's a lot of similarities to motherhood in that way. And just where you, especially as a young mother, where you are tucked away in your home and you are setting and establishing these with really holy attention, some new life. You're establishing a space for new life.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when we were thinking about a name for it, that right across the street from where we lived was this sort of townhome complex, and it was called The Cloisters. And I remember thinking, that's a fascinating word. And then I saw Psalm 128, verse 3, and it says, your wife will be like a fruitful vine flourishing within your house, your sons like olive shoots sitting around your table. And I just like the idea that in a very real sense, that's exactly what a wife mother is she operates within the walls and the structures of the household and makes fruitful and beautiful everything. And the children are a result of your efforts and labor and, you know, quite literally labor, but also all of the homeschooling and the spiritual formation and all of the meals at the table, all of it is happening here within the walls of the house.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Just really good stuff. So what is funny is that I think what I didn't expect at the start, I obviously didn't expect the public iteration that Cloistered Away became, the move away from a family blog into being a public platform where other women would come and learn, be encouraged, share their own stories and resources that they were using. But what's incredible is the name and the title still stands, that even here, 21 years into motherhood, that title is still so true. Even though my children are no longer small, even though the technology world has really expanded the ways that women reach in and out of their homes, it still stands as kind of the bedrock of motherhood.
Yeah. And it's also, it's kind of strange to remember 2007, right? Which is, that's when the iPhone hits. You were one of the early voices and images on Instagram. They promoted you early, and suddenly you found yourself with a public facing thing, mm-hmm. that I don't think you ever really expected.
No. So, I think being the age that I am, in my mid 40s currently, but I remember life before the phones, before cell phones. I remember when all friends started getting cell phones. I was in college. And I remember, when that movement even happened in motherhood, where social media came about. And I remember motherhood pre-social media, which...
Would you say it's changed the experience of motherhood?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Probably for the better, right?
Well, I do think that there are some ways that women have been able to connect that, you know, and be able to share and feel this camaraderie that they're not alone in the work that they're doing, that is healthy and good. That isn't always available, especially for women who live in more rural areas, or even for people who live, you know, across international boundaries, to be able to connect and see and experience that. But it has the, you know, the red zone is where I think a lot of us actually find that conversation right now is what happens beyond that and the ways that it actually distracts from the work that's happening in the home, the comparison that comes about, the ways that it can rob joy, the way that it can rob attention, the ways that it can rob vitality and connection right within the people, right within your home. With the people you're relating with.
Yeah. And that's true, not just for mothers. I think that, you know, friends of mine, we've often remarked that we did not see the boomers being as tethered as they are to their screens as they actually are. So that we'll often bemoan the fact that, look, I've got grandparents in who are now with my kids, but they're stuck playing games on their phones instead of the time with the kids. So I know that the same thing works against mothers, that distracting impulse, but that's true just because they are a very distracting thing.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Generationally. True.
Yeah. Okay. So you just knew right off the bat, hey, I'm going to be a homeschool mom, right?
No. No. So homeschooling was this very like slow drip decision.
You were not homeschooled.
I was not homeschooled. I was mostly public schooled all the way through college. And, you know, I didn't really have any positive experience with homeschooled people, even growing up. I hardly knew anyone who was homeschooled. And when I did, it was very awkward and probably how we tend to characterize and stereotype homeschooling families or children. And so I didn't really have, it was not on my horizon at all until maybe right after I had my eldest. I, you know, was out of the house at a bookshop and I was holding him. He was only maybe about 2 months old. And a woman there, a young woman, came and started making small talk like, oh, how old is he? You know, that sort of conversation. And out of that, she asked me, so are you planning to homeschool him? And I don't know what my face did at that point, but I was so surprised. I did just feel so happy to be out of the house. I, you know, the kind of being concerned with if my breast pads were leaking because of nursing, or if, I, you know, if what would happen if he had a blowout, or, you know, there's so many things that you are worrying about as a young mom the first few times that you get out of the house on your own with your child. I had not at all thought about homeschooling. And so, but it was the first time that I've really felt like the Lord planted a seed in my life. And I didn't really think about it. I don't even know if I had a conversation with Mark about it after that. It was just kind of this thing that I let go of and dismiss until a couple of years later, when Liam was two, I had other friends who were talking about homeschooling their children. And I was like, what? People do this? What do you mean? You know, so there was just lots of, that was, I think, when those seeds, more seeds were planted. And I began to actually look around and began to research and read books and make some choices that would experiment.
Yeah, you're a real researcher.
Yes,
you
definitely.
You deep dived into all manner of, you know, the philosophies, the governing pedagogies, and like you were deep. And I kept asking you like, and so what? And you were like, I don't know. I'm not there yet. I'm still exploring.
Yes, I love to read. And I love to learn. I love to study people. And I think when there are new questions that I have about anything, that's my first go-to, is to go look for books and start deep diving. And again, once again, this is pre-Google. This is pre-internet browsers. Now it's so wildly different. There are so many resources available to parents who are kind of navigating their questions and beginning this journey. So it's come a long way.
And then the boy gets to that age where we're going to have to make a call and make a decision. And so we toured. I remember going on a long, like an expedition through public school classrooms, through private school classrooms, through magnet schools, and I mean, all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. And every one of those experiences was, I mean, there's pros and cons to every sort of home, every sort of school experience, but they were unsatisfying to you. And you thought, nope, we have to do the homeschool thing. And also, I was in that first wave of homeschool kids. So I saw all the weirdness too. I saw like, we got the weird looks, but, so I didn't have as many misgivings about it, but it was kind of a different process for you.
Yes. I think, you know, there's always the theory. There's always the ideas, the things that you're reading, engaging with books, the things that, you know, maybe people are finding on the internet, maybe even what led you here and listening to this podcast or reading something else online. But then there's the praxis and there's the working out of those ideals. And so the truth was, is that when it came time to decide about kindergarten for our firstborn, I just didn't even really know what a typical kindergarten classroom was. So we did. We went to the local public school. We explored the dual language programs. We went to several private schools in our area, just to kind of explore and see in real time what these children were doing, what the classroom experience, kind of what the atmosphere was like in the school. And it was pretty amazing how quickly you can, even if you don't understand the theory, how quickly you can walk in and say, yes, this, no, that you can quickly kind of eliminate even just this doesn't feel right or this doesn't seem right or I love this. So there were some quick eliminations, whether it was somebody touring with a first shrug and stilettos giving us a tour of the school that I just quickly was like, these are not our people. And it's not because I'm against those things, but I just felt like there was an emphasis that was not the emphasis we wanted for education.
Yeah. And, you know, this is the introduction episode. So it's not as though we're going to only speak about homeschooling things, but that is certainly has been a big part of our last,
yes,
you know, whatever that is, 15 years, something mm-hmm. like that.
Longer
yeah. than that. Okay, so we're also going to talk about home and table. We're going to talk about the difference between raising sons and daughters. We have both. And we're also going to talk about what is the transition like from elementary school into high school. And then now we've been launching kids steadily. They've been heading out the door and paying college tuitions. And it's been a real, this has been kind of a transition period for you, I would say. And you're looking to expand your voice, and there's a Substack. You're going to be actually writing more. So you want to talk a little bit about that?
I think maybe that could be its own moment. But I think what is true is that there is this real, as your children are leaving, there is, you know, all of the cliches are cliches because they're true, right? The empty nest, the midlife crisis. I see all of these things and I can see how people make those decisions.
Just
that
really
they find themselves,
yeah.
Yes, that they find themselves in an intense moment of decision and crossroads. I am so grateful for the wisdom in scriptures to know that age is a gift and that there's wisdom and beauty in every stage of life. So I'm not afraid of growing older. I have been so, so thankful for the years that I've had with my children at home. And I think it's made me more... It's made me more thankful and appreciate and value the years of homeschooling more now than I probably did in the moment. Not because I didn't love them, but because I can see them differently coming now in reflection in the rearview mirror. And so I think that's kind of pivoting a stance now that I'm now talking to women who are in my same stage of life, but many who are coming behind me, to be able to say, keep going. It is such worthy and beautiful work. So I am kind of changing stance in some ways, that I'm not in the throes of these days anymore. As our children are growing older, our youngest is now homeschooling. We're homeschooling her with the support of a hybrid university model school here. And so there's just been lots of pivots.
I would also say lots of room. Like, there's been some time to open up kind of and reflect and think about, okay, yeah, I know that your heart is a Titus kind of Titus woman kind of heart, Titus 2, talking about how you actually have a desire to impart to all of the young women in our church. And you do that regularly every week. You have lots of ways that you're doing that. But I think this is sort of an extension of that, of, you know, that giving the gift of whatever it is that I've accumulated and acquired to this moment, I want to be able to pass on. Mm-hmm. You know, half of what a pastoring heart, a imparting heart is just, man, I remember the frustration. I remember confusion. I remember all
the exhaustion.
I'm very happy to say that I haven't seen a goldfish cracker in our house in a long time. But I remember there was a time where that was all that was anywhere. And so, yeah, I know that your heart is to just get out there and start actually communicating more with young mothers, because it's really, it's so powerful. Mm-hmm. The household is so powerful. Mm-hmm. The fruiting and the amplification is breathtaking. The difficulty is that in the moment, it doesn't feel breathtaking. It's breathtaking in a different way. Yeah. It's more like hands on your knees, sucking air.
For sure. And there are moments of reprieve. I mean, it's not all weariness. It's not all, you know, really hard. There are moments of delight that are sprinkled within. And those are such a grace from the Lord to keep us going, to like move us onward. But there's still this, when you are in it, you really can easily become lost in the weeds. And you really can, especially, I always feel like this is, we're prone to this in, as humans, really, in the middle, whether the middle of life, the middle of any project, the middle of parenting, the middle road can tend to be where we lose vision and we no longer have that enthusiasm at the front of the journey, and we can't yet see the end. And it feels like, what am I doing? Did I make the right choice? So I find that that's where a lot of us need encouragement. And even now in this place of where I am pivoting in the middle of life, to have a different role in our home and to be doing different things with my time, it feels very foreign. It feels like I am starting over in a new way, which requires a different kind of faith, but it's still really beautiful and good. So,
well said. Okay. Well, I think that concludes episode one. We really did it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah.
Yes. And thanks for joining us. We hope to be back with more specific. I think going forward, we'll have more specific topics that we talk about in each episode. This really just kind of wanted to give you a preview of some of the things that we'll be talking about and just give you introduction to us.
And to cloisteredaway.com.
Yes, exactly. So thanks for joining us. We'll see you in 2 weeks.